As we come to these last chapters of Zechariah, I want you to recognize that this book, it just keeps getting better and better. And tonight, as we come down to the end of this book, I want you to see a few things. You may remember a passage in the New Testament that talks about how there's coming a day when we will know and be known. Well, what you're seeing here in these passages before us here this evening is a time when God's going to, or Israel's going to know and be known. They're going to see Him whom they pierced, and they're going to be seen by God in a very deliberate way. There's many times the psalmist cries out, "Oh God, you know, how long will you not pay attention over here? We're hurting, we're dying, you know, we need you." And it seems like He's far away. But He says, "I will see them in this passage." And not only that, but they will see Him. And it's going to be a glorious, glorious day when the Israel shall see and be seen. And so that's kind of my title, my working title for our message tonight, Israel Shall See and Be Seen. Now, we have two movements in these three chapters. They both are kind of punctuated by the word behold. Chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling." And then chapters 12 and 13 deal with what's going to happen in those days when God makes Israel a cup of trembling among the nations. And then in chapter 14, verse 1, it says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh." So I've divided those two particular sections apart one from another so that we can get our minds around that. But there's also three divisions that also could make for another outline. And that is three divisions that really kind of cooperate with verse each chapter. In chapter 12, we will see that they, the people of Israel, see their guilt. They'll see their guilt for the first time. This is a people who think that they've never done anything wrong and they're still waiting for their Messiah. They've never accepted the fact that Jesus was their Messiah. And it's going to get pretty intense in the tribulation. And when they see Him whom they pierce, the Bible says they're going to mourn. So they're going to see their guilt. In chapter 13, we're going to see that they see God's gift. It's when they're going to see there is a fountain. In fact, the word fountain, one of the reasons we're saying it tonight, is because it says a fountain shall open to Israel. And they're going to get in on that. So there's a part where they see His gift. And then in chapter 14, we see that they see the gate of deliverance. And what is that? That's when Jesus stands on the Mount of Olives and it splits in half, and He delivers them through an opening of a mountain to get them out. Just like the Red Sea. You think the Red Sea was cool? It's getting better, because He's going to take not just water and separate it, He's going to take a mountain and He's going to split it in two. So let's look at it together. Chapter 12 says this, "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel." You might underline the words "for," because, or the word "for Israel," because the idea is that God is for them. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And this is a burden because it does have some tenuous, difficult days ahead that are lying there. But God is jealous for His people. We saw that last time we were together. So in verse 1, He says, "The burden of the Lord for Israel, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundations of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him." It's saying this is the Creator God, and He's got His eye on Israel. We've heard in Scripture other places, they are the apple of His eye. "He that toucheth thee toucheth the apple of my eye." God's eye is on Israel. And when our country, as we know in this room, when our country does things that really kind of tweak Israel, they're tweaking God. They're poking God in the eye. And so what we're seeing is He's saying, "I see it all. I spread out the heavens, I formed the earth, and I also formed the spirit of man within him," which is a huge, huge thing. As I get older, I begin to realize that every single one of us represents an island of creation that God has made. Each one of our families, each one of our homes, it's a complete entity unto itself. Then we're supposed to network and help and bless other people. That's part of our service to the Lord. But really, your experience, every house you drive by, and George, you drive by a bunch of houses, but every house you drive by has a person or people in that home that have a full experience that is completely their own. It's like every snowflake being different. Every person is different. That's a creative God. And He has it all under control. He forms the spirit of man within Him. We have a spirit. "And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, if he gains the whole world and loses his soul, what shall it profit him?" Well, we see that God's saying, this is who I am. I'm the Creator God who not only created the heavens and the earth, but I create the spirit of man which is in him. And he said, behold, I make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto the people round about when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. It says, all the people, verse 2, round about. We saw last time that as he had the burden, the first burden he talked about, he went through a circuit, started up in Damascus and went around to Tyre and Sidon, came down to Gaza and Ekron, and he kind of said all around, these guys are going to be dealt with. And here's what he's saying now. He's saying, we're going to look at it, Jerusalem and Judah and Israel, and what I'm going to do is when all the world round about them is coming against them, I'm going to deal with them. I'm going to make them a cup of trembling. Now, that is a term that is a little foreign to us, but if you would read in Isaiah 51, verses 17 to 18, you could put this in your margin as a reference to cup of trembling. Isaiah 51, verses 17 and 18, it says, awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunk to the dregs the cup of trembling, and you have wrung them out. Thus says the Lord thy God, and thy God that pleadeth the cause of his people, behold, I have taken out of thy hand the cup of trembling. Both verses use it. He says, even the dregs of the cup of my fury, thou shalt no more drink it again. What the cup of fury represents is judgment. It represents pain and suffering and torment and torture. These people had sinned so badly, God had to judge them. He had to judge them. If he be God, shall not the God of the whole earth do right? He dealt with his people. He dealt with them decisively. He dealt with them deliberately. He dealt with them in a very specific way. And what we're seeing is he's saying in Isaiah 51, which is later in their experience, it's a prophetic word about how they're coming to a point where they'll never have to drink of the cup of trembling again. But back in Zechariah chapter 12, he says, I'm going to make Israel a cup of trembling to the nations. You know, when we started pulling back from Israel and the world started pressuring them just in the past few weeks, you recall that ship comes in under an alleged mercy effort and they had to take them out. And the media of our countries around the world kind of focused in on what they wanted to see and wouldn't let us see that those people had guns and they had clubs and they were hitting and they were hurting. And there was a whole lot of effort to try to make them look, and the word was used, like terrorists. They were trying to say they were the terrorists. And that's the whole world starting to move and shift and snap into place so that it makes the whole world in lockstep against Israel all over again. He says when that happens, he's going to make Israel a cup of trembling. Folks, we are on the cusp of some pretty exciting times. He says, I'm going to make them a cup of trembling. Not only that, he says in verse 3, and in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdenstone for all the people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. You might underline the words, all the people of the earth. This is talking about a day when the entire earth is going to agree. Now, that didn't happen under Hitler. Hitler didn't like it, but the earth was not for what he was doing. But there's coming a time when all the people of the earth are going to come against Israel. And God called it. And from the beginning, he told us this way back before Jesus was even born, there's coming a day. They were not there from 70 AD till 1948 AD. Looked like they were gone into oblivion. Centuries went by. No Israel, no people in the land, Muslims occupying it. And what happens? God brings them back in 1948, and we start seeing it getting curiouser, curiouser, and curiouser, don't we? And what we're seeing is all the people of the earth will at one point come against them, and when they do, God is going to make them a cup of trembling, but also they will be a burdenstone for all the people. Now, the word burdenstone, it's an interesting word. What it actually, it's Jerome, one of the early church fathers, who had a close eye view of what was going on back in that day. What you would do is whenever young people got together, they would get together. And one of the things when, you know, we talk about, you know, challenging one another, you know, they would do that. And the way they would do it is, I can lift that rock. Well, let me see you. And it was a burdenstone. And they'd reach down, they'd grab that rock and pick that thing up, you know, and I can do it, and I can even throw it, you know. And then the next guy would come along and say, well, I can lift it, and I can throw it farther than you. And a burdenstone was a test of strength among young men. And when he says, I'm going to make Israel a test of strength, I'm going to make them a burden stone, he's saying all the nations are going to see them as the one who can take them. Who can take them out? Just like when all the people of Israel were outside the fence of Jerusalem and David's sitting there and he's fighting for Jerusalem and he's longing for some water from a certain well. You know, who can take the city, you know? And certain things have been done. That's what they're saying. Who can take Jerusalem? Who can take Judah? Who can take them out? And our president would like to be the guy, wouldn't he? Right now? He'd like to be the guy who fixes this thing. We're going to get a Palestinian state. All I'm saying is, it's happening before our eyes. It's in your newspaper. And it was written several hundred years before Jesus was even born. He says, all the people of the earth, he's going to make them a burden stone. It's going to be the challenge that each nation is going to see as a challenge. And in verse 4 it says, in that day, I will smite every horse with astonishment, his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes. And there it is, I open my eyes upon the house of Judah and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. God says, I will have my eyes on them. I will not be distant from them. I will not allow myself to be alienated in that day. And he's talking about the Battle of Armageddon. When the Battle of Armageddon is afoot, and when the people of all the nations of the earth come against Jerusalem, once and for all, folks, listen, it's 7 years after we're raptured that that happens. So when you and I see it happening now, knocking at the door, we know it's got to be 7 years later from now. And if it's knocking at the door now, what does that say about our day? Amen? We're looking at, we got to get out of here so God can get the program going and get the tribulation cranked up. We need to be ready. Look up. When you see these things happening, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. He says he's going to smite every horse in verse 4 with astonishment, his rider with madness. You might underline the word madness. It shows up about 4 or 5 times in the entire Bible. And the idea of madness is something that God brings upon people. These people have played the game of, I hate Israel, I hate God, I don't want him, we're going to get rid of Israel, and we will be king, and the Antichrist will reign at that point. And in their minds, they will have played on the edge of sanity, because they've denied what their hearts have told them is true about the true God. And it will come apart when God shows himself in a moment. Madness. And the Bible says he will smite the horses with blindness in verse 4. And what he's talking about there is when you think of the blood running to the bridles of the horses, you got horses running into each other, running into walls, running into rocks, running people into each other. It's going to be a terrible slaughter. Verse 5 says, and the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, and it's very important, they will say in their heart. They're not going to stand up and say, this is where faith takes place, gang. What you say in your heart tells you who you are. Okay? What do you say in your heart about God? What do you really, do you say anything about God in your heart? The Bible says the fool said in his heart, no God. They just act like there is no God. These rulers, these governors in Jerusalem, at this point in the game, when the Battle of Armageddon is afoot, they're going to say something in their heart. And it's true what they're going to say. Verse 5. They will say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts their God. You see, there's still a little weak link between Judah and Jerusalem at this point in the game. I mean, the tribulation has been afoot for 7 years. 3.5 years they thought they had their Messiah. And then he broke the covenant. Many of them got running out of town. Some of them got, you know, kind of persecuted. Some got killed. It was a persecuting time. And so there's people in the outskirts, you know, they're hiding in the hills. We hear about people running up, you know, through to Petra and so forth. And there's all kinds of hiding out. If you, you know, I was afraid, I was naked and you clothed me, I was hungry, you gave me food, you hid me. You know, I was in prison, you visited me. This is the stuff they're going through. So there's this loose relationship between those who are exiled from the city and those who are still in the city. And what he's saying in verse 5 is he's saying that those people who are out in the outside hills, they say, I'm going to stand my ground and I'm going to believe God is going to use me to save them. And I've used that illustration about young men who've got kids and they're worried about their kids and paying the bills. I tell them, you know what? God cares more about those kids than you even do. And he's going to use you to take care of those kids. Is that a true statement? If he cares about the sparrows, does he care about the babies? If you'll just think in your mind that God cares about them, in your heart. These people thought in their hearts, Jerusalem's the key. We will stand and fight. What is God going to do? Because they've said this in their heart. Verse 6 says, in that day, I will make those governors who said that like a hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf. In other words, these guys are going to get lit up. Okay? It's like what they're going to do is they're going to start fighting in the tribulation, at the end, during the War of Armageddon, we're beginning to see come into crystal clarity that God is going to use Israelites to wax bold. They're going to have a part in the Battle of Armageddon. When Jesus breaks through the sky, there will be fighting going on, but He will finish it. But He's going to give them battle experience. He's going to give them time in the crucible. He's going to let them pay back their enemies to some degree by smiting their horses and by discomfiting their enemies. Verse 6 says, "And they shall devour all the people round about on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem." God is going to take Jerusalem. Jerusalem! We live in America. We think America is the center of the universe. Just like people used to think that the earth was the center of the universe. We think America is. America is not. And it is why we need to be ready for everything to kind of transfer over to Europe. Everything to transfer. Centerpiece. Everything to transfer over there. Antichrist will rise from Europe. The money system will be forged in Europe. You and I, we're still in kind of a little bit of a place here where we're still pretty big guy on the block, but it's going down.